Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Ross, and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, where Town fans have their say on their club. And well, what a boring week it's been. No Town game to talk about. International breaks happen, apparently, in League One. When we get relegated from the Championship, you don't think about it. But we're back to bring you more chat on Town. The transfer window is now closed. It's been a week now since the signing of Sams Morsy and Burson Salina on deadline day. I'm joined by five fine gentlemen to talk about the transfer window, talk about the Mark Ashton special podcast, and also look ahead to September. And we have a special strike to bring you to the Fan Social. I'm joined by Dazza, Bainesy, Harvey, Matt, aka Bono, and good old Mark Beck to chat all things Town. I want to go over to Dazza first. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you? And the first question is your favourite signing of the summer. I'm always happy for left field choices, but I understand there is going to be obvious ones to choose from.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Hi, Ross. Thanks for having me back on. The favourite signing's really tricky because there's so many
of them.
Yeah, and some of them we haven't even seen play. So, on paper, maybe the obvious answer is Salina because of where he's come from, his history and all that sort of stuff, maybe. But I can only really judge it on players that I've seen, definitely in the flesh as well. And for me, it's Edwards. I haven't been to the home games this season, but I was away at Burton. And he was just dreamy when he came on for those last 20 minutes. Wasn't there a game on? Was there a televised game? I'm sure I've watched a game. Anyway, Cheltenham. Yeah. So he just looks, he's everything you want from a forward player. He's just direct, he's exciting, he takes people on. And so for me, that's, it would probably be Edwards so far. But I'm sure, my favourite player will be very different by the time we get to the end of the season once everyone is in and playing. So, if you want an answer today, Edwards would be my favourite.
And that is a good point because we haven't actually seen George Edmondson. I thought that was one of the big summer signings. And there's other players we've only seen briefly, Tom Carroll, Connor Chaplin. We'll wait and see on that. Bainesy, over to you. Welcome back to the show. Your favourite signing of the summer.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ross. Good to see everyone again. What a window. Absolutely amazing. Didn't even envisage that many players, that many quality players. Just couldn't get my head around it. You could make a case for a number of them. Most clubs would look to sign sort of 1-2 marquee players and then have a lot of sort of like squad players or filler, but we've probably signed about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 like marquee big players. So it's difficult to choose, but to be honest, I'm going to stick with my answer that I went with when I think it was Mark put out on Twitter, the KOA one, that's Mark Ashton. I think without him, none of those would have happened. We have been crying out for someone of his level of professionalism, talking about elite players. He is an elite CEO and elite operator. And I think it's okay to own a football club if you've got a lot of money and you don't know about football, that's fine. And the caveat is you have to appoint someone who knows football, who's got that list of contacts, who's got that black book where they know a lot of good people. And I think that's obviously been Evan's biggest failing. He never really did that. It was all his mates from the corporate world or within his business. And that was his biggest mistake. So to appoint someone like Ashton, for me, is the best signing because he's an elite operator. He's been a CEO before at a number of clubs, been really successful. He knows how to make good deals. he knows how to sell the vision to players. He sold the vision to all these fantastic players that none of us would have ever dreamed come in. So yeah, for me, it has to be him, no question, because it wouldn't have happened and these players wouldn't have been here without him.
Well, good choice. I said left field. I'm happy with that choice. Over to Harvey next, the sweet Welsh prince and friend of the show. Welcome back to the Kings of Anglia Fan Social. And the floor is yours. Your favourite signing of the summer. You can have multiple if you want. You could have two, three, but maybe just stick to one.
Yeah, evening, Ross. Evening, everybody. Nice to be back on again. I think both the guys make really good points. It's so difficult to kind of pinpoint one major signing, especially kind of this early on, I suppose, because, you know, we've still not seen a lot of them in action as has been discussed. For me, I know it's difficult because we've not seen him play yet, but I've fallen in love with him already, and that's Sam Morsy. I was watching the training video today of the club put up, and I think it was only about a minute long, but even in that video, he looked like he was showing real leadership qualities. He was demanding the ball, he was talking to players, he was kind of directing players through this training session. And I thought that was really, really interesting to see. And those two holding roles in a Paul Cook system are so, so important. You know, you've got the two fullbacks flying up the wings, you've got the two wingers tucking in. So that protection in midfield is so, so important and is what we've lacked so far. So I think Morsy is going to be instrumental in that. Edwards is another one. Similar to Dazza, I was there at Burton when he came on for the last 20, 30 minutes, and he was just, well, he was making us drool for the majority of the time he came on. He was so, so good. So it's brilliant that we've got these players that we can actually call our players. I know it's difficult with Stellina, I suppose, because he's not one of our players. Maybe he possibly would have been if it wasn't for the COVID related issue, you know, with his heart. Maybe that would have been a permanent deal we would have done, but it's just great to have so many options. You know, I was looking at my team for Saturday earlier on, and there's just a bundle of talent, even with players that we've not even seen yet. So, yeah, it's difficult to pinpoint one, but for me, it's Morsy. But we've just got so much strength and depth now. You know, we should be climbing that league. Hopefully, in the next month or so, we'll do just that.
Hopefully we will do. And it was a historic transfer window. And Matt, welcome back to the show, a.k.a. Bono, a.k.a. Vu from the U2, a.k.a. many other nicknames. But it's great to have you back. Your favourite summer signing?
It was a very, very close run thing, this. I was thinking about this on the train to and from the Big Smoke today. Bit of a toss-up, really. I like Stellina with his Norwegian accent, because of course that's where he's from. I like Eduardo, the real Eduardo. Bon too, one of our own on loan. We won't shout about that too much, but Morsy, the king. Hail to the king. Egyptian international, played for a few years, obviously. And he's actually from Wolverhampton. His dad's Egyptian and his mum's English, but hey, he is going to absolutely rip up this division. We've got to wait a little while for him, though, because he's got that silly, silly suspension that he picked up. But, you know, we have picked up so many players. I'm just going to, because people keep saying 19, I keep having this in the back of my head. So, yeah, there you go. Paul Hardcastle, 19. No, 19. The average age of a combat soldier in Vietnam.
I used to break dance to that back in the day on a piece of lino.
I think
none of these kids will know what we're talking about, Bono, but
Ross is like, what's Vietnam?
Lino?
It's lino. That's the bloke that you shout at, Bono, isn't it? From your little bit of the voo from the U2. But yeah, it's got to be Morsy. But we're blessed, aren't we? And to hear Ashton, or Mashton, as my autocorrect called him the other day, him talking about us potentially having a net spend. Well, you know, all these other rival green-eyed monsters that are all over our social media saying we're going to buy the league. Well, yeah, we bought loads of players, but it looks like we're going to be in profit because guess what? Ed Sheeran sponsored us £500 million. So we've got like a massive old bank balance. But yeah, anyway, if you want to edit all that out, Sam Morsi. So yeah.
No, good choice. And the final man that is joining us this week is Mark Beck. And you've chucked in a bit of a wild card here in terms of what he looks like, Sam Morsi. Victor Crumb. And I recently thought that is definitely... Yeah, Victor Crumb from Harry Potter.
That's a Khal Drogo.
Oh, that's, his fictional name in the thing. He's called Victor Crumb. No? I'm completely going off. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
I don't.
Victor Crumb.
Anyway, ignore
Victor
me. Ignore
Crumb's
me.
From Harry Potter, isn't he?
Yeah.
I know who you were talking about.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I said Sam Morsi looks like the beautiful. No, that sounds a bit weird, but the very attractive for the ladies, Jason Momoa, aka Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones, without the ponytail. He's got a very intense look and good facial hair going on, a little bit better than yours, Ross, I'm afraid. But favourite players, I'm going to pick Sonny Aluko, to be honest, because to know we've signed 18 players better than him is an absolute belter, to be honest. No, in all seriousness, I think the guys have picked some really good options here. And I think it's really hard to pick who the best signing is without seeing them all play, as again mentioned. Edwards, I don't know how the hell we've got him at League One. And I think you could say that for a lot of players. Is I think at least 15 of them you go, why is, from our past 10 or however many years we had under Marcus Evans, you think, you know, why is he at Ipswich now? It just goes to show, as Bainesy said, what a good job Mark Ashton has done in convincing these players to come over. I'm going to pick someone different, though, and I'm going to pick someone who has played quite a bit in the last few games, and I don't think he's put a foot wrong, really, and that's Cameron Burgess. I think he's been excellent at left side of centre-half, a position we've probably been calling out for a number of years, and I probably think he's very similar to Gareth McCauley to me. Not the quickest centre-back, but the way he conducts himself, he's always in the right position to make up ground, and he wins a lot of headers, and I think he's going to be a real asset to us. Not sure how much we spent on him in the end, but if he can form a good partnership with the fridge next to him or whoever that may be, I think he'll be looking at a really good signing there. But like the guys have said, there's so many to pick from, and I think it's just such an exciting time to be a Town fan that we can get this excited. I think, who do we have? Cornell, Ward and Hawkins on the same day, and we thought, Christ, if one of them does well, then that's a bonus. So that, you know, I think Sonny Aluko kind of fits in with that lot rather than where we are, but yeah. You know, it's a positive that Sonny Aluko is the bottom of the barrel, not the top of the barrel.
Yeah, you'd be careful though. Brad's in love with him, so just be careful. You'll have Brad knocking on your door 2 a.m.
yeah, I'm gonna hide, I think.
Definitely. And that's a good choice, though. Cameron Burgess, I agree with you. I've been impressed by him so far, and I'm sure he will be the mainstay in that defence. Now, let's get into the Mark Ashton podcast special that was brought to you by Andy and Stu. I'm not being biased here, but I really did enjoy it on my Monday morning. And I'm going to get our takeaways from it. I want to go over to you, Dazza, first. What's your main takeaway? Of course, we're going to go across the room, so try not to take every takeaway from it. But what's the one that stands out from you?
He's a smart guy and he speaks very well. And I actually wrote down a phrase hit the here that he said, which was based on the players that were signing. So, I mean, obviously they're very experienced and they know what they're doing, which is Mark's earlier. We haven't really had that for so long, where we've got people now that know what they're doing. They know people in the market and they know how it all works. He said that we signed players who are asking what they can bring to the club, not what they can take away. And I thought that really kind of sums up, you know, if you go back to the Paul Jewell, Roy Keane, all of that kind of era, we were just signing players that were after a meal ticket, after a big fat salary, and they weren't interested in the club or anything. So hopefully now that's all changed. You know, they've signed players that want to be there. They want to be part of a promotion. They want to achieve something, win something, bring Ipswich back, be part of the history, become legends, all of those things. And, you know, that's exciting. But that, yeah, so when I was listening to that pod, that was kind of the main takeaway for me.
I like it, definitely. Bainesy, over to you. A fantastic start from Dazza. What have you got to bring on your takeaways from the pod?
I was thinking about how honest and transparent he was. I think with Evans, it was like the couple of interviews he did with the club, and obviously that interview he did with Stu way back when, it's like you felt it was a bit robotic and scripted, and you know, it was perhaps, oh, stop here, I don't like what I've said there. Let's change that. He never ducked a question. He never said, oh, sorry, I can't answer that. Sorry, I can't talk about that. He was, you know, very, very clear with everything, gave great answers, very articulate, you know, specific as well. I just enjoyed all of it. I think the little anecdotes like the Selena thing particularly amused me as well, where he said, you know, he was worried that it was done because there was no answer, and, you know, I'd probably be the same. I think with how high they were aiming, you're always going to have that bit of paranoia. It's like, oh no, they don't like us. Oh, they don't want to come here. They don't want to come to Suffolk. They want to go to London or wherever, or a bigger city. And it'd be so easy to get into that sort of paranoid trap. But yeah, I just thought it was really funny. And I thought Mike O'Leary as well, it came across, obviously, the relationship between them. They obviously speak a lot, which is good as well. Mike O'Leary is obviously, you know, an absolute football oracle. I think the relationship between them two is going to be equally as important as between him and Cook. But yeah, just loved it. What a nice thing to have someone who actually speaks, and who actually speaks well, and it's not in weird things and, you know, dressed up like, you know, Roman analogies and fiddles, whatever. It's just people talking in plain English, you know, really charismatically. So I loved it, absolutely loved it.
And yeah, of course, you know, Marcus Evans was the owner of the club for over 10 years, and he did that one interview with the club, did a few little bits here and the you know, programme notes. But Mark Ashton, he's done two specials with the local journalists, so that's fantastic. Harvey, over to you. What's your takeaways from that pod?
That's a great question, Ross. I think that's my main takeaway, to be honest. That's his favourite thing to say, isn't it? No, in all seriousness, it was a really, really fantastic interview. I thought it was so interesting, some of the things he was saying. I think, as Bainesy said, I think transparency is the biggest word for me, because he was so honest and so open. Even at times, it was surprising me, to be honest, the fact he went into the Crooks, you know, failed move for Crooks. It interested me how within those failed deals he didn't mention Sonny Bradley. So I don't know whether maybe that wasn't as advanced as we thought it was. I know Bradley said at the time, didn't he, when he signed the new contract, that he wasn't aware necessarily of any direct interest. So maybe that was something the club looked at and maybe decided not to pursue. Or I'm not too sure. But yeah, it was really, really interesting. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think, as the boys have said, you know, it's his job to speak well, and he does it very, very well. And I think what's interesting as well is he's aware that maybe he's made mistakes at previous clubs, as she said the other day on the pod. And I think he's learning every single day. You know, I have to be honest, I wasn't aware that he didn't have a great relationship with the press, and listening to that, the interviews that he's done so far, that kind of surprises me, to be honest, because he comes across so well, you know, every time he speaks, basically. So it interested me that he, you know, didn't necessarily have the greatest relationship with the press. But yeah, the main takeaway is just how honest and open it was. As Bainesy said, we've had so many years of just scripted shite, quite frankly. You know, Evans's interviews with the clubs where, I mean, you could literally see his eyeballs going from left to right. It was that scripted. It was just painful at times. It was like watching a crap episode of Coronation Street. So, yeah, it's just good to have someone behind us who really, really cares for the club. And I think you can see that. He really wants the club to succeed. You know, the work starts now, really, doesn't it? He's got a lot of infrastructure behind the club that he wants to sort out, and hopefully the only way is up. But yeah, he's I don't think he could have done much more. And I had a nice little picture with him at Burton, and he smells absolutely delightful as well. Don't know what aftershave he had on, but whatever it was, he was expensive and very, very nice. So yeah, all good. If he but gets then, an approval rating from there.
But then he drinks Jack Daniels. Yeah. I was going to sort of ask you all, oh, Mark Beck is a Jack Daniels drinker. Over to you then, Mark, quickly.
Nothing wrong with Jack Daniels. I know it's not quite up there with Scotch, like Ron Burgundy. I love Scotch, but I like most.
It's a sour mash anyway. It's not a whiskey.
It's a bourbon.
My problem was I love whiskey, but I'm too poor to enjoy really good quality whiskey. So about 40 quid is my limit. 40 quid on a bottle. And if there's anyone who could drop 100 quid, 150, get themselves a really nice bottle. Even Lagavulin, even like 50 quid a bottle, you could go with that happily, fantastic. But he chooses to go with JD. I was just a bit disgusted and disappointed, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe that was just his original drink from when he was growing up, and you know, of course, not when he was a kid, when he, you know, and stuff like that. But in terms of like, maybe it's just I'm digging myself a hole here. But what are you going to say, Dezza?
Yeah, I haven't drunk Jack Daniel. I drank a whole bottle one night, and I haven't drunk it since then, for obvious reasons. I still played football though at 2 o'clock. I was still there.
Fair play. We've all been there. I think hopefully everyone's been there where you've had a hangover and you play football the next day, or done something that you wish you hadn't drank too much and you've, yeah. Anyway, we're going down a alcoholic sort of route here. Let's go back to Matt and get his takeaways. Your favourite takeaway, Matt, and also the takeaways.
Favourite takeaway, probably like a Chinese or something, succulent Chinese meal. What did I take away from Mark Ashton? Well, I think he reaches the parts that other chairmen couldn't or didn't. I think you'd be hard pushed in not only our region or our country, but in the world. Do we have currently employed by the Americans the best communicator in world football? I don't know. That might be something to talk about on another pod, but it is. I think one of the boys has said it's night and day compared to the absolute wilderness of, like, it was almost like we're in like the Cold War era again. For those younger viewers, Google it. We just, you know, we've had more information. It's almost like a cerebral like overload of things. It's like every day you pick up the phone, you scroll through, and oh my god, Mark Ashton said this and Mark Ashton said that, and we're going to sign him, and they're going to do what to the North Stand, you know, that kind of thing. But again, you know, classic Bono, he's going off at a tangent again. I just like the guy's attitude, his approach to things, the way he answers questions, that's a great question type thing. You know, give me a minute. I need to kind of answer that one type approach. But he's just his whole aura. If you could like grow a perfect organic thing to be in charge of like a football club, with, you know, by Joe, we've got him. But you know, if you were to like market like some journalists speaking to a chairman, you'd be like, yeah, I'll listen to that, you know, another time type thing. Maybe I'll check out the new Kylie Minogue single. But it was just, but it's just compelling, isn't it? I didn't want it to end. Next time, can they just leave? I'd love to be a fly on the wall, like an Amazon or another style broadcaster, like documentary into like Mark Ashton's office and his assistant, Luke Wareham, who, by the way, really, really looks like him, which I guess, you know, is a compliment to Mark Ashton.
That's how it's made in it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's great. It's so refreshing. We are, I was going to say we're lucky, but we're not lucky because it's happening. You know, do we deserve it? Yeah, I think we do, you know, cause it's been bollocks. Sorry to the person that once complained about me saying bollocks three times in an hour and a half. You should try a match day pub, some of the filth that comes out of those young men's mouths sometimes. But yeah, no, it was great. It was great. Roll on the third chat with Mark Ashton. Hopefully the work will be done. That massive bottle of champagne that they were talking about, I believe is called a Nebuchadnezzar, which like the size of it, which was the I believe the name of the spaceship in the Matrix series. Again, Google it if you're not familiar. So yeah, that's enough for me for now.
I refuse to believe, just quickly as well, that he's ever failed an interview in his life. I couldn't ever see that happening. You would just hire him on the spot. So just what comes out of his mouth, like Bono says, you don't want it to end, do you? I didn't want it to end. I just, when I saw there was like 5 minutes left, I'm like, you just want more, don't you?
I mean, some serious man love going on here.
I mean,
we've talked about some of the stuff that Evans and Milne and all the various people who obviously haven't made much of an impact, because I can't remember exactly. I can't remember what their names are. But, you know, you think of when Marcus Evans was sat on his chair with his legs folded with the pitch behind him. This is like the 5-year plan, and we need to do this, and we need to develop this. And it's going to be, and it's like, this guy, I mean, it's...
I'm telling supporters to be careful what you wish for. And then apologising the next day.
Yes. And then, you know, you look at the fact that we had Leo Neal, who's still there. He now does the job that he's supposed to do. The fact that Evans and O'Neill and other people came out and said, take over? No. It's not happening. Move along. And then it happened. And yeah. And that kind of, that taints your trust, doesn't it? It's like once bitten, twice shy. But I don't know. I love Mark Ashton. I'm going to invite him around my house for a proper bourbon, even though Darren is right. Jack Daniels is indeed a sour mash.
Sour mash. It's my Whitbread training.
Yes.
And Mark, you've sat there and been hearing what the guys have said. Of course, we're going to have a little bit of cynic in us still, aren't we, as Town fans? We've still got a bit of cynic there. Like, we're loving all this sort of stuff, but we haven't won a game yet. And, you know, it's still one of those, like, you know, we're still in the honeymoon period. But what's your takeaways from the pod? And
you've got to play devil's advocate, haven't you, Ross, over there? But, yeah. No, I think the key word that's been said multiple times is transparency. And I think in a previous life, when I was doing other Ipswich Town content, I got rather angry about transparency, and it is night and day. I think something that Bono just said, that it says, should we feel lucky? I don't think really we are lucky. I think we've just come so far back to what any football club deserves and how it needs to be run. You know, all you need is someone that's competent and cares. You know, we've not had that, I don't feel. You know, I'm sure there was some level of care for Marcus Evans, but there's a lot of negligence there, and there's a lot of mismanagement as well. And that leads you to question what was really going on. And I think to have someone at this moment in time to, you know, clarify things and be open and honest about things that have happened, things that are going to continue to go on with the football club, it's just refreshing for us as Town fans. But at this moment in time, it's the bare minimum that any football club should expect, that from their people running their club is people who can be held accountable and answer questions, and that's what we need. I think we've got to be very careful, as you said, that we haven't won a game, and it's the transfer window has now finished. There's not always that ace up the sleeve. Oh, look, we've got Bertrand Salina now. That is not going to last while we aren't winning games. It's a wise man said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think if it does continue to be a tough patch, then I think Ashton still needs to come out and be consistent and transparent with us as to what is going on. Do I think things are still going to be tough for the next few months? Hopefully not, and I don't think they will be. But we've still got to have that in our minds that, yes, it's all rosy now, but if it does continue to be a little bit of a rough patch, Mark Ashton needs to be consistent with his transparency as well.
Well said as ever, my friend. And in a way, that segues into the next section. And I was going to go and get in your starting 11s, but let's actually predict the month of September. The games are as follows. We have, of course, Bolton at home this weekend. Then we travel to Lincoln City And then we've got back-to-back home games against Sheffield Wednesday and Doncaster on a Tuesday night. Over to you, Dazza. What do you reckon? What's the possible outcome? So 12 points. Sorry, I had to get my maths quickly there. 12 points on offer. How many points do you reckon we're going to get?
I ran through these and I think we'll get 7 out of 12. I think our first win's coming this weekend. I think we're going to beat Bolton. Then I think we're going to lose at Lincoln. Then we will draw at home to Wednesday. And we will beat Doncaster. So 2 wins, a draw and a loss. And then our momentum will be swinging and we'll be, you know, back together again, players playing. So that's what I reckon. 7 from 12. I'll be happy with that.
I think that's reasonable. What's your thinking behind the Lincoln defeat then? Do you think it's just going to be a tough place to go, and Lincoln are probably up there again as promotion probably candidates?
Yeah, they're a good team and they're a proper team. I'm going. So that's never normally a good luck charm for the team when I go. That's I'm going. So I always hope, I hope we win. I expect to lose. And then if we get anything positive, then that's a good. It's just me as a cynical Ipswich fan. So, but Lincoln are a good side. You know, I know they're a smaller club and everything, but they were in the playoffs last year. And I think they've only got stronger over the summer. So they'll be up there. They'll be up there.
Okay, so Daz has gone for 7. Bainesy, what do you reckon? You're going for more points or less?
I've also got 7, but I've gone with a slightly different result. So I reckon, I agree, win this weekend. I know a lot of us keep saying it on our prediction league because we're positive, but I definitely think it's going to be this weekend. I think we'll beat Lincoln because we'll have momentum from Bolton. I think the loss is going to come against Sheffield Wednesday. They're a really good side. They've started really well. They've signed some good players. So I think that there's the potential loss, even if it is at home. And I think draw at Doncaster. Doncaster, they're in a place they shouldn't be. They've played a lot of quite decent teams so far. I think as I'm looking at my notes, Portsmouth, Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham. So three teams you'd expect to be in the top 6. So that's not an easy, first few games. So I think a draw there. But I think 7 out of 12 is respectable. I think get a couple of wins and then I think people start feeling like a bit easier and a bit, because I think there are obviously some people who are panicking at the moment for one reason or another, which is absurd. But I think a couple of wins should avert that. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Okay, some points there. Harvey, over to you. We've got 3 home games in September. Only got to go away once in September, which is weird. You normally expect at least 2 away games. Oh, of course, we've got the Papa John's. That's such home as well, but Papa John's is, whatever. Harvey, over to you, though. What's your points prediction for this month?
I've gone slightly more optimistic. Whether that's foolish of me or remains to be seen. I've gone for 10 out of 12. I think it might be a good month. I've got us to beat Bolton on Saturday. I think, similar to Baines, I think the momentum will carry on into Lincoln. I think they're a good side, but I don't know whether they are as good as last season. Personally, time will tell on that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not 100% sure whether they are. I think we'll draw at Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday look a really good side. I think they've only conceded 1 goal, and that was the loss against Morecambe. Am I right in thinking that? I could be wrong, but I'm sure they've only conceded 1 or 2 max goals there. And I think we'll beat Doncaster. So 10 out of 12, good, positive month. And that'll lead us into the first game in October, which I'll be at Accrington Stanley away. So hopefully it'll be better than the last time I went when Dobra got sent off and we were dreadful. So
good. And Sky, do not put it on, or don't put it on Sky.
Yeah, exactly.
12
exactly.
O'clock on a Sunday, just ridiculous.
I do not want to see Colby Bishop bullying our defence again. I know that. Mm.
Yeah, I can recommend the food there. It's a really good band.
Apologies, that's a fire engine going past my house, so I do apologise. All is well in North Wales, don't worry.
Oh dear, I was about to say.
He's from Wales, isn't he? Was it Fireman Sam? He's from Wales.
Yeah, possibly.
Very much
possibly,
so. But very much so.
More firemen and women are available.
Yes, yes. Anyway, move on back to good old Matt. Matt, Harvey's gone for an unbeaten month. Are you going to do the same? Are you going more points or are you going lower?
Well, I've just seen... I'll keep the lightning because Harvey definitely stole my thunder. I'm pretty much going with exactly the same as what the sweetest of Welsh princes said. See Harvey's answer really, because that's what I was going to go with. I think the toughest test is going to be against our old adversaries, or is it adversaries this weekend? Burton Wanderers. That's going to be a close thing. Then I've forgotten who else we're playing. Lincoln, yeah. In the county of my birth. Yeah, we'll beat them. We'll draw against the mighty Owls, and then we'll beat Donny because they're not the team they were. And we owe them a bit of a spanking, don't we? Because that was embarrassing last season when those merchants went up there and just we're crap, weren't we? And that just reminds me of...
Didn't we win the home game?
I don't know. I know we lost.
Yes, we did.
We lost the away game.
They battered us. They absolutely battered us.
Was it 5-1? We won.
It's 4-1 away, and I think we won 2-0 at home. That was just before Darren Moore went to Sheffield Wednesday.
That's right. Yeah. We beat them, but we shouldn't have done. We shouldn't have beaten them.
No. So yeah, there we go. 10 points, baby. Come on.
All right, Mark, over to you. The floor is yours. 7 points, and, well, another 10 points there. What are you going for? Are you going to go for more or are you going less?
I was umming and ahhing. I did initially have 7, but I think I've taught myself to be more optimistic. And I'm going to go for 9 points. I haven't really thought through where those 9 points will come from, but I think I'm hoping that Paul Cook is a manager that would rather sacrifice going 4 games unbeaten. So if I'd gone for 8 points, that would have been 2 wins and 2 draws. I'd rather him be a manager that is willing to lose 1 game but to gain 3 wins as opposed to staying unbeaten. And I hope he is that sort of manager. We haven't really seen that yet, but again, playing devil's advocate, we haven't had his full squad or the fully gelled squad, whatever you want to say. So I'll go for 9 points. I think the game we may lose will be Lincoln. I really like Michael Appleton, and you know Teddy Bishop's probably going to score, don't you? So that's bound to happen. So, but no, 9 points. Sadly, not unbeaten, but 9 points is better than 8 or 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, or 2, or 1. There you go.
And you're all predicting a win. So we're going to win a game, guys. Woo! Hopefully this weekend. I'm actually going to get your predictions quickly for the Bolton game, your score predictions, so I can write those down, and then we'll get into the next section, of course, is your starting 11 for the season ahead. You know, minus the if players are injured or, you know, suspensions and stuff, you know, Sam Morsey. And then I'll be interested to see if there's going to be differences. But over to you then, Darren. Dazza, what is your prediction?
I think a squeaky bum 1-0 is what I'm going with. I hope it's not, but I'll take it. 1-0.
1-0. Bangs, what are you going for?
2-1. I know we'll have Walton in goal, but yeah, I think we'll still be a bit leaky, so I think we'll leak a goal, but yeah, 2-1 for me.
All right, 2 wins there. Over to you, Harvey. What are you going for? You're going to go for a... I'm intrigued. Are we going to see more goals, or, you know, we're going to see a 5-3 as the famous second leg happened?
Or a 6-4 like Crewe all those years ago? I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0. I think with Edmondson hopefully playing the, you know, the English PK, and we've got Walton in goal, I'm feeling confident. So 2-0.
2-0, a clean sheet. Matt, over to you. What do you reckon?
Ipswich Town 3, Bolton 0.
Ooh.
That's your scoreline of choice, isn't it? I feel like that's, you've done that multiple times during the prediction league. Or am I thinking of someone else?
John normally goes for 4 or 5-0, doesn't he?
Yeah, or 4-1.
I jumped on board the 4-1 train and it's not really come true yet. So
no, it's David. It's David who goes 3-0. It's David always 3-0. It's not really happened. Yeah, it's not happened so far. Hopefully it will be 3-0. Good prediction. And then, Mark, finally, what are you going for?
I'm going to be incredibly selfless. And my footballing luck, I'm going to sacrifice any chance of winning in the predictions competition. I'm going to predict 2-2. And then it's not going to happen. Because I've said it's going to be 2-2. It's now not going to happen. You've heard it here first. Although Mark Ashton won't like me because I'm in the know if you go by that margin. But
that's all over now. That was another takeaway from the pod, wasn't it?
Yeah. I totally forgot to mention that. Oh.
Yeah.
Floor is yours now. Don't we mention it now.
Can I just say, if I may, that absolutely warm my cockles, because you just know that there's some creature at the club like leaking things out, and then their friends are like tweeting it, and it's like no, and that kind of thing. And I want Mark Ashton to get people in his office. We're gonna have some uncomfortable conversations, because I tell you what, from what I'd gathered from some of those in the know, or that think they're in the know. And what you got to understand is that a lot of people that do tweet hashtag IEK, ITK and stuff like that. I forgot what the TLA was then. It's a three-letter acronym, guys. A lot of people that tweet it are just mocking those that do it seriously. But come on. I mean, you just look them up on Twitter. Look for them on LinkedIn. Look at their connections. And those people that are connected that work at Ipswich Town, get typing those CVs out, guys, because there's going to be some uncomfortable conversations with Mark Ashton.
It'll be like Peaky Blinders, like, you know, Tommy Shelby's wedding, where he's like, no fighting. It was just all them lined up, be like, no leaking. Not today.
and it's one of the best things that you've got to take from Mark Ashton is that he's got, you know, he's you know, to coin a phrase that we've used with the Manscaped adverts, he's put his balls on the table by coming out and saying this hurts us. I don't think I've ever seen any chairman, CEO, you know, consortium mouthpiece ever come out and say, guys, fucking pack it in. You know, this is really stupid.
It wouldn't surprise me if Ashton told different people in the club, different players, that we were allegedly going for, to see where the leak would come from. I think that's a Game of Thrones thing as well. I think Ned Stark did that in season one. But to see where the leak is coming from. Yeah, so it would be very interesting. I'd like to, like Bono has said, it would be very interesting to be a fly on the wall and to see what's going on there. Part of me, I don't want to say it, but I think there's part of me, there's a little bit of David Brent in him at times as well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Someone mentioned the Fly on the Wall documentary, I think it would be slightly Brent. I think there would be a lot of, you know,
A little bit. But enjoyable, you know. It would be fascinating to see what goes on. But generally, if you become part of a Fly on the Wall documentary, it doesn't tend to end well. You know, they don't very often follow the good teams. I think they did Man City, haven't they? But it's generally where there's a basket case or some sort of drama going on. They love a bit of drama.
They do. And Matt, you mentioned Manscaped. It's time to, of course, talk about our sponsors. Use the code KOA at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free delivery. I always forget about that. I'm sorry. We love our sponsors at Manscaped because they've extended a deal. So thank you. Use the code so we can get more deals. Now, let's get into the starting 11 for the season ahead for Town. I'll give them the floor to you guys. You've got all the players available, no suspensions, no injuries. Everyone's fit and raring to go. Of course, Town named their 22-man squad. And no, I'm not going to say Xander Sidibe's real full name because that is just ridiculous. So do not get me to do it.
Please.
One day, but not tonight. I haven't got the strength to do it.
Is it a strike? Is it a... is it a strike question?
Well,
that's all content is going behind a paywall, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah, it's Ross got to. It's got to. Yeah, put it on some...
You should put it on your OnlyFans, Ross. You saying people's. You put it.
What do you want to say?
Yeah, ASMR football names.
But yeah,
Kiznobo.
Kiznobo, yeah, Sergio Belcher and all that. But anyways, Dazza, over to you. You've got 22 men to choose from. Who are you going for in your first 11 for Town? I'm sure the obvious one is Morton in goal. I don't know if many of you are going to go for Vaclav Holanki, however you say it.
Well, you're absolutely totally wrong because, as you know, I am a lover of Holanki. I am by nature a very loyal person. And so I'm sticking with him. I haven't seen Walton play. I've got no idea who he is, how good he is. Don't know. So I'm sticking with him because I love him. And he's going to come good. I want to give him... He needs that chance. He needs one game where he is as good as he can be. And then everyone will get off his back. I mean, honestly, the stuff that's been tweeted about him is absolutely ridiculous. He's been blamed for every single goal that we've conceded, more or less. So, he has made some mistakes. I'll give you that. No, you know, obviously he hasn't been brilliant yet. But some of the fans' opinions out there are very wrong, in my opinion. So, I'm sticking with him. I'm not saying Walton's not a better goalkeeper, because he may well be, but I'm sticking with my boy. You goalkeepers need your backing, your belief, your confidence, and I'm giving it to him. So I'm sticking with him in goal.
It's your team.
It's my team. I'm sticking with him. KVY, Edmondson, Burgess, Coulson is my back four. And I'm guessing we all have to stick to this. This is a system that Paul Cook likes, right?
We've got to.
We have to stick to that framework. Then Morsey and Harper as the two holding. And then, you know, the front four, that's where it's just ridiculous. You know, I can't remember the last time we had a choice of players like we've got now. So I'm going to stay with Burns on the right. I'm going to put Selena in the hole. Edwards out wide, and I'm going to stick with Piggott up front. I know Bond's on fire at the minute and everything, but I think Piggott offers a bit of everything. You know, he's a target man at the far post, heads things on, flicks it, holds it. And we've seen from his goal scoring record over the years, he knows how to score goals. So, I'm going to stay with Piggott just because of what he can do, a bit of everything rather than one thing. So that's my, but it's so difficult. It is ridiculous. You know, there's so many players that I've not, Fraser, Chaplin, I forget who else now, but you know, Lee Evans. Well, only because I haven't seen him play, you know, but it's ridiculous now. Have we got too many players? That's another question. Have we got too many? You know, this Louis Barry on loan, is he going to get a game? You know, so there might be a few football players can be a little bit unhappy, a little bit stroppy, childish even, if they're not, you know, getting a game. So Paul Cook's got a job in his hands to keep everyone happy. So, but yeah, anyway, that's my starting 11 as it stands now.
Okay, and of course, it's a long season, so I'm sure some players will understand that. Bainesy, are you similar to Dazza, or are you changing a few players, are you removing some of those?
Couple of small tweaks. What I'd say on Aluko, I used to play Football Manager when I was a single gentleman and didn't have any responsibility other than myself. Aluko was a very fine player, but I feel like that was back when he was at Rangers. I signed him a couple of times, but yeah, sorry, Mark. I think he's very much at the bottom of the signings pile. But yeah, Walton in goal for me, I think. Yeah, I get what we're saying about Holanki. Dazza makes an incredible point. Goalkeeper is a very, you know, island-like position. A couple of mistakes and you're public enemy number one. You're nothing, you're rubbish, you're gone. Holy sort of in that position now as well, isn't he? He's gone from 2 to 3 very quickly in under 23s football, probably. So I'll go with Walton in goal. KV1 on the right. I really hope he plays lots this season because he has a lot to give. I think he'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Edmondson, even though I haven't seen him, just seems like a top-class player. Burgess as well, done fantastic. Coulson at left-back. In the middle, I'm slightly different. I've gone with Evans and Morsey. I just think chemistry is so important. And if Evans has got someone who he knows is next to him and he knows his moves and where he is, that's going to make a big difference. And I think as well for him, not having the captain's armband anymore, I think will do him a great deal of good. That's a lot of pressure, a lot of burden. A club where a lot of exciting things are happening. So I think that's going to do him the world of good, handing over to his mate Morsey to be captain. And then this is where it gets super difficult. I mean, the number of signings up there. I mean, the group chat we had when Fraser signed, obviously massive excitement. But now he sort of drifted down and I don't think many people would have seen that. So for me, it's Burns on the right. I think he needs to stay as an attacking player if KVY stays fit, fingers crossed. Selena in the middle. I think, again, perhaps we need to temper expectation with him. The pericarditis, I don't know. The heart condition, I'll say. You know, it's not something you can obviously risk or anything. So I think perhaps this season, potentially, we're going to see more of him as an impact sub. But in my ideal world, he's number 10 because he is way above this level. We absolutely should not have signed him. Edwards on the right, Edwards on the left, easy, you know, fantastic player. We've never had a player like him in a long time. And the best thing is he's ours. You know, we used to sign these players online, but he's actually come to us, which is fantastic. And out front, one of our own, sort of like Bono alluded to, Macaulay Bon. I think the fact he's a chantry boy, the fact he's got a point to prove, the fact that, you know, he left the club, you know, when he did, I think we'll do him wonders this season. I can see him scoring lots of goals. And yeah, it's that delicate balance of how many he scores and whether we could get him next season if we went up or, not, it's going to be difficult. But yeah, that's my ideal 11.
Mark Ashton will make it happen. If we get promoted and he scores 20 goals, it's
an easy sell, I think. I mean, for him, it's like, look, be part of something fantastic. You know, we're building something. We're looking towards Premier League. I don't think he's not even that old, is he? He's 24, 25. So still, you know, pre-prime of his career, I think. I agree with you, Dazza. Hopefully that's an easy sell.
I knew it was going to happen. My mic was muted. Oh, dearie me. But anyway, I was saying, Harvey, over to you. Two really good teams there. You know, the question will be, every time it hits 2 o'clock, who's going to be missing out? Who's going to be on the bench? Who's not even going to make the 18? That is the big one. But yeah, you're starting 11 for the season ahead.
Yeah, we could do with having 9 subs like the Premier League have got now, haven't they? We could do with that to just fit all these creative players on the bench. I've got one change, I should say, sorry, to Baines's team. And I've got Walton in goal. Hladky, I think Dazza makes an outstanding point. I think he's been, some of the stuff I've seen on Twitter over the last few weeks has just been ridiculous. I completely agree that he's not had the greatest of starts. He's looked a little bit shaky. And perhaps a fault for some of the goals, but dearie me, I mean, he's not been half as bad as people have made him out to be, and he's clearly a very, very good goalkeeper. Granted, it's a league below, but he cut 22 clean sheets last season, for God's sake. So certainly not writing Hardkey off. But Walton, for me, he's proven in League One. He's been promoted in League One. He's got a championship experience, so I'd go for Walton. Right back, KVY. Same back four as the other two guys. I've got Edmondson, Burgess, Coulson. I think a shout out for Wolfie because I've been quite a big critic of Wolfie over the last 12 months. But I think since he's had Burgess by his side, he's looked a hell of a lot more comfortable. But for me, I think Edmondson is a shoe in there. two centre mids, that was a really, really tough one for me, but exactly the same reason as Bainsey, I'd have to go with Morsy and Evans. I think they've developed that partnership over their Wigan days that that I think will really benefit us. That's not taking anything away from Harper, because I think he's shown glimpses that he's a real, real good player. And I think he's going to be a valuable, valuable player for us over the coming years. And I wouldn't write off Tom Carroll either. I think he's got a lot to offer. I'd start him this weekend, but that's another discussion altogether. On the left, Kyle Edwards, a shoe-in again. In attacking midfield, Salina, of course, hopefully, fingers crossed, he plays a lot of games this season. Obviously, we can't rush him back. He needs to be, 100% fit for him to come back. As a striker, I've got Macaulay Bon. At the start of the season, if you asked me that question, I would have gone with Piggott. But although Bon isn't the tallest, I think his hold-up play and his ability in the air is a lot better than I thought it would be, to be honest. He kind of reminds me of Norwood in that sense. Norwood's not the tallest, but seems to be quite good in the air, and Bon is similar to that. The only change I've made is on the right. I love Wes Burns. He's a Welshie. He's one of me. But I'm a massive fan of Colin Chaplin. I think he's going to be a real, real good player. The thought of Edwards on the left cutting in on his right, and then Chaplin on the right cutting in on his left. We know in a Paul Cook system, the two wingers like to tuck in. I think that could be an absolutely devastating, front four. I really, really do. But that was a tough one as well, because I think Burns, the thing that concerns me about Burns is his end product. And I know he scored a brilliant goal against Wimbledon, so maybe that's a ridiculous thing to say, but at times his end product frustrates me. But I'm sure he'll get better over time. But maybe it's a bit unfair to put Chaplin in, considering he's not played any games yet. But for me, I would edge with Chaplin on the right over Burns. But apart from that, exactly the same team as Bainsey. And it's just fantastic to have a selection headache like this, because what were we discussing last season? Should we have Ken Lock or Stephen Ward? And now we've gone from that to saying, should we have Salina in the number 10 or Scott Fraser, who another one I think will do well this season? So it's just brilliant to have all these options, and it's great to have this discussion where we're in a position that we've not been in such a long time. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I can't wait for the team news every Saturday at 2 o'clock or every Tuesday at 6:45. So yeah, exciting times.
Yeah, our second 11 isn't that much weaker than our front 11.
Spot on, yeah.
Really, really.
Yeah, definitely spot on. And over to you then, Matt. The floor is yours. You have the power now to pick your starting 11 for Town for the season ahead. I know the season's already, it's 5 games in already, but it's now crunch time. It's now, all players are available for you. What are you going for?
Yeah, the season starts now. Here's a bit of an exclusive, though. This guy does not make the team, and his name is Zander Zenkoze Dumisele Opiyeme Adebayo Siziba.
Good.
Thanks for that. I'm semi-fluent in Uruba, but there you go.
Also known as Dave.
Dave to his mates. So it's incredibly, this isn't left field at all. I wish it was, but I'm so safe when it comes to picking good players. This guy comes from a very wholesome family, Christian Walton. Is that his name, Christian? Yeah. I was going to call him Marcus Walken. Walken? Christopher.
Simon.
Where is Christopher Walken when you did Simon Walton? Yeah. Simon Walton was a banger, wasn't he? His those ankle bits. Kane Vincent Young, absolutely fantastic. Coulson is great. His dad being on Twitter is amazing as well. The fridge and the freezer in centre defence. The Pharaoh, Sam Morsy, and the comedian Lee Evans in the centre. Wes Burns, the most handsome professional footballer in the world. The real Eduardo on the left. Kalina in number 10 in the hole. Baron the hole. And Macaulay Miles Bonney. He's up front. He's going to score an absolute handful this season. But yeah, like Daz has said, the second 11 is absolutely fantastic. And yeah, 100 points, 100 goals.
Oh, no, he said it. Oh, he said it. Why did you say it?
I'm only joking. Oh. I'm only joking. Oh, I'm only joking.
I think there's a yellow card for that now.
Yeah, you get a fine.
82 points, 79 goals.
How many goals conceded? Because, yeah.
Hopefully
15. Okay. Yeah, solid goal difference. Solid goal difference. Some good teams there. And Mark, I'm sorry that you had to be the last man to bring out your team. Are you going to bring any left field choices, or are you gone, you know, with the standard sort of starting 11, or are you gone for something different?
No, I've had a change of heart sitting here.
Yeah.
But there's someone that is going to come in that's a little bit different that hasn't been mentioned yet.
Ooh.
In their teams. He has been mentioned, but not specifically in someone's team.
Sonny Aluko. Tell me this is true.
He is not in my team. He's not in my B team, and he's not in my C team. She's probably got a better chance. His sister's probably got a better chance of getting it than him, to be honest. Right. Goalkeeper, I completely agree with Dazza. I think Ladkey's been getting a bad rep. I think if you present most professional footballers, unless they played for Ipswich in the last 2 years, with a one-on-one chance like we have to various teams this season, they're going to tuck a chance away. And we've been guilty of doing that. And there's only so much a goalkeeper can do when they've got a striker bearing down on goal, or any player with all the time in the world. But Walton comes in, I think Cook will trust him, and I think his experience at a higher level, which Ladkey hasn't got, unfortunately, serves him better in my team. The certified baller, KVY, will always be my right back for now until the end of time, even if he is injured. I'll just put him in because he's better than Danasian. That's Euronics. They finally delivered that fridge that I've been waiting for about 6 weeks. Next to him is Cameron Burgess. Left back will be Hayden Coulson. The holding two will be the familiar pairing of Sam Morsi and Lee Evans. And yeah, now we go to the front four, which is, like we said, we're blessed with options. It is going to be a selection headache. We need to get them Nurofens out, I think, because it's going to be bloody difficult if they are all fit at the same time. So I agree with the sweet Welsh Prince. Chaplin will be on the right wing. I think he's going to be a really good option. And I'm one of the players that you think, Christ, how have we got him to drop down, considering where Barnsley were last season, fighting for promotion. In the number 10, it was mentioned by Harvey, I'm going to put Scott Fraser. I think he's going to be a real asset there and a little bit different to what we've got. I think I did have Selina there initially, but I think Chaplin, Selina and Edwards are all very similar players. And I think you need a little bit of variety, someone who's a little bit more cultured. Got two set piece takers in the team as well, with Evans and Fraser, although Fraser does need to work on it a little bit. The corners, I don't know what it is about corners at Portman Road. Maybe it's down to the pitch. We can't beat the first man. Some of it was tactical. I remember Waghorn used to always whip it in really fucking hard and fast to the front post, and it used to work, but we seem to have been trying to do that for the last 3 years and it just doesn't work. So I don't know whether the pitch makes it a little bit difficult. I'm just making excuses for him now. On the left wing, it is Easy E. He's going to, again, another one. How have we got him? He's just so good. Brings a smile to my face. And, you know, he just makes you tingle, really, every time he's on the ball. You just think something magical is going to happen. Just needs that goal. Hopefully that will come on Saturday. And then he's one of our own, not one of our own permanently, but maybe in the future, Macaulay Bonn. And I think Bonn mentioned it himself, that he's getting a good relationship with Scott Fraser and something he wants to help build and grow. So keeping those two together, I think, will be a real asset for us. But like we said, there's players there. I think Louis Barry, it's early days, but I think there's potential he could get recalled in January because he's not going to get the game time. Selina as well. I think Ashton mentioned in his podcast with Stu and Andy that he's not keen on the January transfer window. And I think we won't be too hasty in rushing Selina back, because I think he'll, by the time he gets up to speed, he'll feel like a new signing in January. I think, you know, once he's finally got fully match fit and match sharp, he'll be a real asset then. I'd say the same with Harper as well. I think he's unfortunate to lose out to continuity instead of quality. I don't think Evans has been particularly great, but I think Cook and myself, I'd be more inclined to go with a partnership that knows each other. But I think if the season's going well, there's no reason why Evans and Harper can't interchange, and Harper then begins to play himself into the team. And maybe if we are a championship club, that's where he takes over and maybe Evans takes a back seat. But no, God, I think Paul Cook is probably glad he's got a few injuries, because he's going to have a lot of unhappy footballers, because we can only pick 11 for that starting 11 every Saturday.
Do you know what? Oh, Harvey, over to you.
I just wanted to quickly, I forgot to mention it in my bit. I think Matt Penny's slightly unlucky as well, because I think he's done well so far. I really do. I think he's a victim of the fact that Cook quite clearly sees Colson as his number one left back. Mm. I think that was the case all summer. That's why he chased him for so long. But I don't think Matt Penny has put a foot wrong, to be honest with you. I really don't. I think I think we've seen it already. I know he came off because he wasn't 100% match fit, but usually I wouldn't like to see a fullback being replaced by a fullback with 20 minutes to go. But I think the way Cook plays, I don't think that's necessarily a defensive substitution anymore. If we brought on a Penny for a Colson, because you've seen how much both fullbacks attack the left hand side. So just a mention for Penny, because I think he's done well so far. He's certainly not let anyone down. But as I said, it's clear that Colson was his number one left back, and he's clearly a very good player.
How for those of you who've been at the ground on TV, Colson looks tiny.
He's not very big.
No.
Yeah, he really reminds me of a gnarly kind of North Sea. A kind of gnarly North Sea weather-beaten Dan Harding in terms of frame. Oh, I remember the first time I saw Dan Harding, I was like, I was gonna say fuck. Then I was like, he's tiny. He's like 5'6". His legs are like chopsticks. He is just going to break when like a big old like gnarly dude goes through him type thing. But he's got like a low center of gravity. He kind of gets the ball and then moves to one side, then moves to the other, and then just goes. And he's got some awesome leg tattoos as well. And his dad's on Twitter. And I'm going to buy his dad a pint of the Greyhound. But he's very good. I understand he can play. He can also play as number 10, which I just think is total like football manager dreamland.
It's I was
like,
just about to say, yeah, if you've got a left back, like, left winger, central mid attacker.
It's like, oh, you can play left back, you can play left wing back, you can play left wing, and you can play behind the striker. It's like, yes, we'll have him, sign him up. But I've got to stop doing these silly voices. Sorry, I'm tired.
Well, you just nicked a whiskey, so I don't think they're going to stop, are they?
It was one finger and some ice of some proper bourbon.
One finger never hurt anyone.
Not the same as what Mark Ashton had. But
No.
Coulson. I reckon Coulson's going to score this weekend.
Put money on it.
Not take. Put money on it, yeah. He's got a feeling. But no, that was a very good shout there, guys. Different starting 11s there. It will be very intriguing to see what's going to happen on Tuesday, this weekend, to see who's going to be starting. Well, we're going to end the pods with a strike. Nice little surprise for you. I prepared it somewhat. come on, guys. A little bit more excitement. If you're watching this on video, you'll see a little pause because I am going to be embedding the intro music for the audio version. So that will happen now.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike. Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Let's get into the first question. And okay. The question is on Cameron Burgess. Was born in which Scottish city? I have got three options, so do not worry for you to just randomly top of your head.
I don't know Scottish cities that well.
I think it's Fife, is it?
So it's three options. So it's Aberdeen, Dundee, or Stirling? Hoping these are right in terms of cities, like for the two other options, because of course one option is correct. So Aberdeen, Dundee, or Stirling. If Liam was here, he would know this off the top of his head because he knows his Scottish places because he lived there for so long. But yeah, whenever you're ready, show me your answer and I shall give you the point if you got it right.
So Dundee, Dazza. Location on this.
Go. Aberdeen, Stirling, Dundee. What have you gone for, Bainesy? Aberdeen? It is Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Aberdeen. So a point for Mark.
What's going on with my camera?
And a point for Bainesy.
I think he went on loan there as well or something, didn't he? I swear that's where I know that from.
Doesn't matter. Question two is on the boy Tom Carroll. And there's no option for this. It's just if you know which month he was born. So I was born in which month. So I have to quickly find out the answer to this, actually. So don't use Google, Wikipedia. I just need to quickly find out actually what the answer is.
You don't know the answer to this.
I do know. I know now. I just didn't have it on my screen.
I've got 1 in 12 chance here.
Okay. Yeah, to be fair. I was going to give you three options, but I thought that's a bit lame. Just guess. Is he born in the same month as you? Anyway, show me your answers.
I'm going August.
Yeah, August, March, February, August, February. You're all wrong. It's May.
That's my month.
You got it wrong. Question three is on the new keeper, Christian Walton. And of course, we've got to mention his clean sheets. Now, Christian Walton has kept how many clean sheets in 171 games? So closest to the correct answer gets the win. And do you know what? If you get it bang on, you get 2 points because I think that will be very impressive if you can get it banged on.
I think, yeah, okay.
Might be underselling him here.
Hang on. My mouse is struggling.
So Wigan and Blackburn was the main teams he played for a lot, and he had loan spells at various clubs, and I think he's only played a couple of games for Brighton. Of course, it's all competitions as well.
All right.
So in the League Cup, FA Cup, and the Papa John's Trophy.
Johnson's Paint Trophy. Yeah. He'll be putting out a strong team for the Johnson's Paint Trophy.
Show me answers.
I've run massively under sock.
54.
38. 38.
52.
Yeah. What are you going for, Bainesy?
38
as well.
38.
Well, Dazza is the closest because it's 56.
Oh.
So Dazza gets the point.
Sorry,
that's
Christian.
Phenomenal. That's almost 1 in 3.
That is, not too bad.
That's good goalkeepers, that sort of ratio.
Bad.
Very good.
Right.
Mine's higher. That's not bad.
Move on. Question four is on the good old Norwegian / Casavonian. Whatever you say. I don't know. Move on. Question four is on Bersant Salina. How many goals did Bersant Salina score in 38 games for Town in his previous loan spell? 38 games. All competitions as well?
That was 40 goals. Something
40 goals in 38 games. That's a fantastic return.
Well, that's how much everyone's been bigging him up.
Yeah, true. I know he scored a lot of goals in his first 6 months and then he just sort of disappeared, didn't he? Because Mick McCarthy didn't want to play him because fans were calling for him to play.
Might have undersold him here again.
Okay. One fat lady for me.
Oh,
number 8.
Where is it?
Oh, I got 8 as well.
Eight.
I've got 6. Where if you say
11, 7, 8. Wow, 2 of you are bang on. It's 8.
Oh.
So Dazza and Bainesley gets the point.
He did. I was trying to think of him when the highlight reel. I knew that I could only do the ones I could name.
Yeah. Well, one of the goals was just the random one against Crystal Palace in the cup. I think that's what some people may forget about because it was a consolation.
Did Sunderland, Leeds, QPR, Burton. That's like five. I just thought I'm probably scored one more.
Yeah, and then one against Palace and others. So I'm currently going into the final question. Dazza and Bainsey are in the lead. Matt and Harvey, you're out. You're out. Sorry.
But at least I can have some anecdotes of when I had some music lessons playing an instrument called the Cassavanian. It's like a harmonium. It's like a harmonium made by Casio.
A romantic one.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. But now, question five is on Sam Morse. He still play, Harvey and Matt, and people listening, I hope you've been playing at home as well. No cheating, no conferring. Question five is on Sam Morse. And if you've got three options, he began his career, senior career, at which club? God. He started his youth career at Wolves, but his senior career, was it Rochdale, Port Vale, or Oldham? Here we go.
So I hate Port Vale because I hate Bobby Williams.
I saw their fans at County after they conceded the penalty rip off an advertising board.
Oh, interesting.
they've got a gold kit at the minute.
So congratulations for the win, Tom, because I'm going to get this wrong.
Port Vale. Rochdale, and it is Port Vale. I'm sorry, Dazza. Bainsey does get the win. We do have a tiebreaker if you just fancy it, but Bainsey is the overall winner. And the tiebreaker isn't on transfers.
Last goal wins, right? Last goal wins.
if you get it bang on, you could take away. But as we're playing Bolton this weekend, how many games have Town won in 46 games against Bolton? So, yeah, someone gets a bang on. I'm sorry, Bainsley. They're going to walk away with it. But if they don't get a bang on, then you're still one.
Go on for my lucky number. Lucky number will prevail.
I'm going to... Okay. Let's all do a... 26. Oh, why did you... Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have said it either. Oh, it depends if it's someone else's lucky number. I don't know. But, okay. We'll do it one
Karen
by
Burgess.
One. So, Dazza, will you go first? Show me your number.
I'm just going my lucky number. 22.
Okay. Bainsey?
23.
Ooh.
17 is Matt. 26 was Mark. Harvey, what are you going for?
18.
The correct answer. And none of you are bang on, I'm sorry to say. So, Bainsey, you are the champion. It's 21. Dazza was so close.
So, I won that one, though. I won that point.
You won that point, but...
Did we ever get robbed of a victory? Is that what Daz is trying to count? Like, was there a game where we should have beat them and the ref was rubbish?
Possibly.
Shouldn't we had a penalty in the relegation season? They at home, it was 0-0, I swear. And they fouled. I think it was Mark Wilson gave away a foul on the edge of the box, which definitely was a penalty. We'll go for that. It's 20.
We'll go for that.
I don't think we can count the 4 or 5 nil, whatever it was last season, because we were playing like they're under 12. So
is that really? I did feel sorry for them. Were you at that game as well?
I was. I saw 90% of the players getting picked up by the mums and dads at the end of it, which probably said it all.
Was Remy Matthews one of them?
He's not getting picked up by a club, never mind his parents.
He's at Crystal Palace now.
He's a guest.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow, do you know what? I've got a chance.
Isn't it Scott Carson's playing in the Premier League for City this weekend? Yeah. Because Edison's out. COVID, what? That's mental. So Edison is out because the Brazilian...
Oh, right.
The ban there, and then... Their second choice keeper's got COVID. So that miraculous third choice keeper, where normally he sat there making a cup of tea on Saturday, like Richard Wright was doing at Man City, he's going to be starting.
Great.
Who was our player called Carson? Was he Scott Carson? We had a little midfielder.
Josh Carson.
He was amazing on his debut. Mm.
Yeah.
Like Carl Edwards.
Yeah. Pretty much.
York City last time I looked. Josh
back in Ireland. Back in Northern Ireland now. Doing the rounds there. But another man who's back in Ireland, and that is Barry Cotter. Take it away, Bazza. I'm sorry to say this could be your last outing on the strike, although it depends if the person I asked to do the outro will do it. But we'll wait and see on that. But there we go.
Hi guys, Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Right, we're back. Thanks, Bazza. And that is the end of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social. Bainsley wins the first ever strike on the Fan Social. We'll see who can win it next time. Dazza, let me take this question off. There we go. Dazza, Bainsley, Harvey, Matt and Mark, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me. Hope everybody at home has enjoyed listening on their drive to work, their run, their walk. Wherever you're listening us to, hope you've enjoyed it. In the bath. Some people do it. Some people do.
What's that thing with Partridge does? What was that thing?
Alan's deep bath.
Deep bath.
These are sex people, Lynn.
And on that note about baths, use the code KOA at manscaped.com, get 20% off and free delivery. Your balls will thank you. And we're back.
We got the new sponsor as well.
Oh, yeah, the new sponsor. Of course, New Wolsey. Sorry. You never lost at home. Of course, previous from this episode, there is a pod special with the director and the basically Bobby Robson lookalike slash voice man, which is talking about the new Wolsey Theatre, Never Lost at Home, covering that fantastic team in 1981. Go to newwolsey.com to get tickets. It's starting very soon. I'm going to go and watch it because I think it's going to be very good. So there we go. Enjoy the game on Saturday. Hopefully it's the first win of the season. Check out for game day. And we'll be back next week for many more pods. So look out for that. And yeah, goodbye.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.